Good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it?
Come out and worship and praise an Almighty God. We've got several folks that's gone on vacation and all these things, but we're here and we're going to worship and praise God. I know a lot of times people start looking around and say, so-and-so's not here, and so this one's not there. And they get worried about the number in the church instead of worrying about what we ought to be doing, worshiping and praising God, whoever's here. Two or more in my name. You know, that's where we're at today. Good to see everybody, and like I said, I want to share some of the holy word of God with you today. I'm so glad that God is a God that loves us enough that we sometimes get first directions and second directions and sometimes even the third. But I want to talk to you today about how much God loves us and intends for us to be in His will. If you'll look with me to the book of Jonah, and I want to use a few verses of Scripture there out of the book of Jonah. You know, coming into this, Jonah was directed by God, and he chose to go the other direction. He chose not to obey and be obedient to God and His will. And when I see this, I rejoice in the fact that God just didn't call him once, but He called him the second time. And now this is after the persuasion method that God used, that he be in the will of God. I want everybody here to think about today, are we truly where God wants us to be? Are we in God's will and following His will in our life? That's where we need to be. That's where it's profitable to us, it's profitable to God, that we can hear His word and we're obedient to that. In Jonah, in chapter 1, when we start into this, I want you to know that God had a plan and God had a purpose for Jonah. And Jonah chose to dismiss that in his life and go the other direction. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. So God had a plan that he wanted to get his word down to Nineveh, because it said they had a wickedness that come up before God, and he knew what was going on down there. Now understand, when we talk about Nineveh, it was the capital city of that time of the enemy of Israel. And I guess Jonah probably had second, third, and fourth thoughts about going. He might even been fearful, but he knew what God wanted him to do. And God had a plan. He was showing them, even though they're an enemy to Israel, God still loves them. And so when we start talking about as Gentiles, we ought to rejoice in that fact. It's not just the Jews that Jesus and God love, but it's us also. So he speaks to Jonah. He gives him the plan. He gives him the understanding. And Jonah knew exactly what God wanted him to do. And so in verse 3 it said, But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. There's people all the time that come and talk to me that I believe are running from the will of God in their life. Just as Jonah, he knew what he wanted to do. He turns and goes the opposite direction thinking, if I'll just get out of sight of God, he'll forget about it. Let me tell you, you can run, but you can't hide from God. God's everywhere. You know that? God's everywhere. He's in this house. He's in this parking lot. He's in your home. God is everywhere. So when Jonah made the choice, he said, I know what God wants, but I want my will rather than God's. Now, there's punishment to pay when we go against the will of God in our life, when we hesitate, when we postpone, and God's wanting us to do it at that time. So here's Jonah, he made his choice. He said, well, I know what God wants, but I'm not going to be obedient. Been there. Done that. Paid a heavy price. Well, David's in agreement. All the rest of y'all were probably perfect souls, but me and him had a problem one time. Amen. We went against what God wanted us to do. You know, I'm guilty. I learned the hard way. And through the pulpit and the preaching of God's Word, I try to persuade people to avoid the problems and troubles that come when you get out of the will of God. Jonah thought he had it made. He said, I'll just get in the ship. I'll hide out. I'll go the other way. I'll go down to Tarshish, and God will forget about me. Well, understand, if God has called, that call's good forever. God called me to preach one day, and guess what? That calling of God is good forever. If He saved you and called you into His work as a Christian, it's good forever. So Jonah had a hope. He said, I think God will forget about that. God don't forget. If God called, God meant it. You know, He don't do things joking. He don't make false statements. He called Jonah, and He wanted Jonah to go down to Nineveh because He needed him to share the Word of God that Nineveh be delivered from a destruction that was coming. In verse 4, but the Lord sent out. Now he goes down and hides from the presence of the Lord. Probably thinks he's got it made. You know, I see a lot of people in this situation. They think they've got it made, because it don't happen immediately. So in verse 4 it said, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Jonah thought, I've got it made. God says, let's see how they handle this problem. Now, I'm here instructing people according to the Word of God that if God's called, if God's required of you something, I'd suggest you do it. Save the trouble. Save the problems that come when you don't. He's in this ship. In verse 5, then the mariners were afraid, and they cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Can you understand where he was at in his frame of mind? He thought, I've got it made. I'm going away from God. I'm hid out. He don't know where I'm at. He's at peace enough in his life to lay down and go to sleep. He's way down in the ship. He's fast asleep. All this trouble's going on, and he's not even aware so much. But in verse 6, it says, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. So he gets woken out of his sleep, and he gets to talking to the captain's bidding. He said, you come up. You take pray to your God that we may not perish. So there's a problem going on with Jonah. He's woke up. Let me tell you, you might sleep through a little bit of God's trouble, but you won't sleep through all of it. It'll come, and it'll take effect. And so Jonah finds himself in a very bad situation. I think about this a lot. In verse 7, and they said everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. I'm not surprised by that, are y'all? God controlled the lots that were cast. God controlled the people that cast the lots. And so there's no surprise with me that they're going to single out Jonah. You know, there's times in life we do this and we do that. We're out of God's will, but we think nobody sees it. It's going to be okay. They don't nobody know this. That's just a little dark closet, you know. Nobody understands. And so when they started going through it, they found that it was Jonah, and he caused the problem. In verse 8, they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thy occupation, and whence cometh thou? What is thy country, and of what people art they? The questions start being asked to Jonah. And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Now, understand, he professes God. He understands him that made all the land and all the sea and made everything it. And he says, I'm one of his. But yet he had declined to do the will of God. You know, we come into the same situation sometimes that people are saved by the grace of God, but yet they refuse to follow God full-heartedly with all effort that they have. So we find Jonah in a situation. Now, understand, not only Jonah brought problems to himself, but he's bringing problems to everybody on this ship, everybody around him. So I want us to consider that we being out of the will of God. I know what Scripture says. It said we'll reap what we shall sow. Thank God, you know, I'm not going to have to reap what you sowed. You're not going to have to reap what I sow. But it's individual that God deals with us. But it can have an effect on everybody around us, family, friends, neighbors, whatever, that if we're out of the will of God and this punishment starts coming down, I'm telling you, they were all in the same storm, right? Everybody on the ship and Jonah was all in the same situation and the same storm and a ship about to be tore apart. And I think about that so many times. You know, where God gives us opportunity. In verse 10, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. So they understood. They said, hey, you fled from the presence of the Lord. And I like this statement they made. He said, why hast thou done this? Jonah didn't do it out of ignorance. I think we have some Christians today that may do it out of ignorance because they're not enlightened, they're not read, they're not studied in the Word of God. And I'm going to say some may not know better when they get out of the will of God. But most of the time, you do know better. You've got a conscience. You've got the Word of God to tell you right from wrong and to follow the Word of God. So here's Jonah, and he's in the midst of all these sailors on this ship. And it said they're afraid, and they ask him the question, why have they done this? You know, I think a lot of times, you know, folks that may be faithful to God and in His service and working, all of a sudden, you know, they're turned around, they're headed another direction, they've got too busy in life, or they've got this going on or that going on. And I think about it, I just like to go up and ask them the question, why have you done this? Of course, I'm probably not as nice as God would be to some of them. I'd say, why have you done this? It's ignorance. You know, but here's Jonah. He's in a situation. He's found himself in this situation. In verse 11, then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempered. Ask him a question. Can you think about this? Jonah's standing up there and he's being questioned from everybody on the ship. And they're asking him, say, what can we do to calm the sea? I want you to notice in verse 12, and he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. I think about this so often when I see people turning away from God, getting out of the will of God, not being obedient to what God's asked them to do, and they're in tribulation, they're in trials, they're in problems, they're in a storm out in the middle in a ship. And here's Jonah's answer. He said, take me up and cast me overboard. And I'm thinking, duh, wait a minute. He didn't have to go overboard. If he'd stood on that same deck and confessed his sin to God and said, I'll do it, I believe God had changed his mind on that. Just that easy. But yet he'd rather go through the trouble, the problems, of all these things and hardships of life before he will say, I heard God and now I'm going to be obedient. Let me tell you, before you have to go through the trouble, the problems and trials and tribulation that God brings on you for not being obedient, why don't you try just being obedient? Wouldn't it be a lot easier? He said, take me up, cast me forward. Now, he knew this was a death sentence. He knew if he was cast out into the sea in the middle of a storm that he's going to die. There's no doubt about that. And I thought about what would possess a person, a man or a woman or child, whatever, that had rather die than be obedient to God. You're hearing what Jonah said. He said, just take me up and cast me overboard. And he made a decision in his life. He said, I'd rather die than do what God asked me to do. Now, that's serious thoughts, isn't it? But that's showing us how human we can be, not only Jonah, but we also can be that human sometimes that we're so set and we're so, focused and say, I'm going to have it my way or no way. And that's where Jonah was standing on the ship. He said, it's going to be my way or no way. And he decided he'd rather die than be obedient to God. If you're here today, I hope, and you're in that position, I hope you change your mind. Because God can take you out. He gives all life. He takes all life. In verse 13, it said, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. And so we see mankind, doing all they can to reverse the sentence of God that he had put on that ship through the storm. Now, God brought this storm. God brought this trouble. And these men decide that they're going to go against God, that they're going to try. And they said they rowed, they did everything they else, but they could not. They could not bring this ship to land because that was not God's will. And I got thinking about this last night. I thought, how many times people's asked me to pray for them. And I'm usually obedient to that. I try to. If they ask me to pray, I try to call their name, you know, and I try to pray about their problem or their trouble or their need in life, whatever it might be. But then I got thinking about if this is God's will, you know, if it's because of disobedience, who am I to try to change God's mind on what He's going to do to correct them? Now you think about that. You know, we've got illustration of this over in the New Testament. Just hold this place. We'll come back over here in a minute. In Acts chapter 5. Y'all turn over there with me just for a few minutes. Acts chapter 5, verse 33. This is when the apostles were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in all the cities and all the tabernacles, and it was stirring up a big ruckus. I mean, a lot of people didn't want to hear this. And a lot of people wouldn't do a lot of things to them. So in Acts chapter 5, verse 33, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Now, this is a man of reputation. This is a man that they paid attention to. He said, wait a minute, before we kill these apostles for preaching this Jesus Christ, he said, let's put them forth a little space and see what takes place. Look at this. And he said unto them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourself what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as obeyed, as many obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, and even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone, for it is this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. He said, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. But this doctor of the law, this man of influence, told me, he said, just let it go. Just give them a little bit of space. That's why our church is still here today. Because it's not of man, but it's of God. Now, when churches get to be of man, they got a problem. It's to be just like these other two guys that he mentioned. They'll come to naught. But that's why we're still here worshiping and praising an almighty God, calling ourselves the church, the body of Christ, because it's of God and not of men. I want to tell you something. I don't run this church. You don't run this church. If anybody less than God runs it, we've got a problem. But we come under the leadership and heading of God, just as Jonah, he directs our paths. He directs us in what we're to do. And I'm going to tell you, we need to be obedient to what God says. In verse 14, back over in the book of Jonah, in verse 14, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done it as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. I believe a confession from Jonah, a confession of sin from Jonah, and a commitment to God that I'll go do what you asked me to do, I believe that would have calmed the sea the same as him going overboard. There's situations. See, Jonah decided I'll lose my physical life. Physical life. All he'd had to done was give his spiritual life to God, and I think the same would have been accomplished. So that's what we need to focus on in this service today, that we got problems, we got trouble. It'd be a good thing to get people to pray for you, but if God brought that trouble, I don't know, we're going to change it. And so we have to think about, we sowed it, so we're going to reap. And I'm not going to reap what you sowed, and you're not going to reap what I sowed, but we're going to reap what we've sowed. And we've made the decision whether we follow God or not follow God. And so it comes forward in verse 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vow. So if nothing else came out of it, it put these bunch of mariners, these bunch of sailors, into believing of the true and living God, because they saw his power and gave understanding and reverence to that. It said, talks about the fish that God had prepared. Now understand, he said in verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now when it speaks in the New Testament about the sign of Jonah, that's what it's talking about with Jesus. He's in the grave 3 days and three nights, and then he's resurrected, just as the fish is going to vomit up Jonah. And that's what it's talking about. But when we get down to this, and it talks about in chapter 2 about Jonah starting to pray. I'm telling you, you wake up in the fish's belly, I guess it'd change a lot of people's prayer life, wouldn't it? And you think about how horrible and how awful that was. Can you imagine being in the belly of a fish down in the sea? I've been in worse places than that. I was lost on my way to hell. I've been in worse places than that. You know, Jonah was God's man. And there was a time in my life I wasn't God's man. I wasn't his person because I wasn't his type. Because I was independent. I was selfish. I was a lot of things that go with long not being saved. But when he woke up and discovered where he was, he began to call out and cry. And in chapter 3 and verse 1, and I'm going to close with this. Chapter 3 and verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, and notice what he tells him, the very same thing. God didn't change. He tells him exactly the same thing he told him the first time. He said, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. He didn't have to have his own opinion. He didn't have to have his own mind. He said, I just preach what I bid thee. And the wording that God uses the first time and the second time, you're going to find it's the same thing. And I'm thankful that God gave Jonah the second opportunity. Because now there's some of us probably sit here and miss the first opportunity that God's called on us to do something. I'm going to advise you, this second call, do it before all the tribulation and trouble has to come on. And Jonah went down and did what God asked him to do. Don't that seem simple? Don't that seem like a simple thing for us to be compliant and in the grace and the will of God, that we just say, okay, I'll do what you ask. I'll do what you call me to do. That's what Jonah found himself doing. You know, I want to remind everybody in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 5, it's very simple. It says, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. So if you're not willing to stay the course of what God's asked you to do, don't even start it. Just suffer the punishment, that's all I could say. And there will be punishment because God knows our lives. He knows how to touch us. He knows where it hurts the worst. I'm going to close right there. Let's have a verse for something.